1 Timothy chapter 4, if you will, I want you to drop down to verse 7. I want to read verse 7, 8, 9. The Bible says, "But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation." The Word of God is an amazing book, and it never ceases to amaze me how it seems to always run counter to the thoughts, the desires, the ideas of man, you know. Man's got his idea and everything. He's got the desires, he's got his plan, but the Word of God usually runs counter to that, and there's a shining example of that truth right here tonight. In the Word of God, we live in the day of a health club explosion, all right? You can find a gym, a health club, a fitness center, or whatever you want to call it in every neighborhood. I'm pretty sure on at least one or two occasions, I've seen two in the same strip mall, you know? They're just everywhere. There is a tremendous, tremendous emphasis today upon physical exercise and being in shape physically and all of that thing. And, you know, when I start speaking like that, it can generate all kinds of questions. You know, people, well, what's wrong with exercise? Shouldn't a Christian take care of his body? And, hey, the controversy go on and on and on. But, hey, I'm not interested in getting in an argument. We'll touch on it a little bit tonight. But I want to speak to you tonight, though, on the priority of godliness. The priority of godliness. Notice the scripture says, "Refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come." Just three very simple things tonight. If you're going to put a priority somewhere, then that means you have to shun some other things. You have to shun some other things. If we're going to put our priority on godliness, then there's some things we're going to need to shun, and we're just going to need to put them aside. We need to refuse them, all right? Just a definite refusal. And that's what the Bible says, but refuse. Now, refuse is a very simple word, but it's a very strong word. It doesn't mean think about it and consider it. No, it means no. Refuse is just no, plain and simple. Would you do this? No, I refuse to do it. I refuse to do it. That is just a simple thing. It's straightforward. It's definite. It's a definitive act that leaves no doubt as to how you feel or you think about something. And that's what the Bible says about that we're to do, okay? Notice what it says. We're to refuse, first of all, profane. Hey, we're to refuse that which is unholy. That which is unholy, we're to refuse. We're to have nothing to do with it. That which is profane. And, hey, honestly, I don't know about you, but when that word profane comes up, I'll be honest, I associate it, first of all, with profanity. Profanity. We're to refuse that. We're to stay away from it, all right? We're to get rid of profane language. Man, it just gets all over me today the way the language of people has sunk to the bottom. We feel, you see it around, and folks, I'll be honest with you, it's not just in the lost world. It is in the world of people that name the name of Christ. And those that claim to be saved seem to think, well, it's okay to use profane language. Now, a lot of times they excuse it and say, well, I got mad. Well, getting mad doesn't okay you doing wrong, okay? Now, I don't care how mad you get, it doesn't mean it's okay for you to do the wrong thing. But we justify it, you know, with that in mind. We're to refuse that which is unholy. Listen, if you've got a problem with vulgar, profane language, and you say, well, it's just the mild words lead to the not-so-mild words. Just get rid of it. Boy, I want to tell you something. Damn is not an adjective. It's a verb. It's a verb. We live in a day where we use it as an adjective. People use it constantly as an adjective. It's not. It's an act whereby God would send somebody to hell. That's what that word is. That's what it is. And we ought not to use it in any kind of casual way. You say, well, I was mad. I don't care if you were mad. Quit. Quit. Hell is a place. Hell is a place that the Bible said is prepared for the devil and his angels. It's not an expletive. It's not an expletive. And there's a multitude of other words that I'm not about to say in the pulpit or anywhere else. We're to shun those things. We're to shun those. You got a problem, then decide I'm going to work on it. I'm going to work on it. You know, I've heard of people having a money jar at home, and every time somebody says a bad word, they have to put money in there. If you're at home by yourself, put it in a jar and then send it to missions somewhere, all right, every week. Some missions would get a real strong lift to a lot of people. And it's a sad thing. We live in a day like that. But, man, it just boggles the mind. What used to be rare is now everywhere. Everywhere. God help us. We're to refuse that. Hey, we're to shun that which is unholy. Anything that dishonors God, we ought to shun it. We ought to shun that. It ought to be pushed away. Hey, we're to refuse the unholy. We're to refuse the unintelligent. Notice what it says, old wives' fables. Old wives' fables. You know, I really hadn't thought about it too much till I got studying for this message. And I was reading in a commentary, and a guy began to list. He said, old wives' fables. You know, like Ellen White and the fable of Seventh-day Adventism. Hey, the old wives' fables like that of Mary Baker Patterson Eddy, Christian Science. Hey, the truth is, and I'm not going to list them all, but the list is a long one, religious frauds and false religion that came out of the mind of a woman. Old wives' fables. Now, ladies, I'm not condemning every woman, all right? But I'm just telling you, it's amazing how many of those old wives' fables have got big followings across the world today. And it was invented in the mind of somebody. It has nothing to do with truth. It's unintelligent. Christian Science, I don't remember who said it. It's kind of like grape nuts. That's neither grapes nor nuts. And Christian Science is neither Christian nor science, all right? Hey, it's just absolutely unintelligent, okay? Unintelligent. We're to stay away from those kind of things. We're to shun that. We're to push it aside. We need to get our priority right. So if we're going to do it, then we need to shun the unholy. We need to shun the unintelligent. And we need to shun, refuse, if you will, the untrue. Fables. Fables. Boy, even in the world of Christianity today, there's so many things that are getting taught. And they try to justify it with the word of God. False doctrine. It's totally untrue, okay? This business of replacement theology has gained a lot of headway. You say, what is that? It's people teaching that the church has taken the place of Israel and that the promises God gave to Israel now belong to the church. Hey, that is just... That comes about because you can't rightly divide the word of truth, all right? You just can't rightly divide the word of truth. We're to shun that which is untrue, all right? We're to stay away from it. Why? Because we want to focus on godliness, all right? Our priority needs to be godliness. And so there's some things you need to shun, but there's also some things you need to shuttle. You know what a shuttle does? It moves stuff around, right? You get on a shuttle because you want to move around a little bit. We went to Washington, D.C. years ago. I don't know if there's still one, but there used to be a shuttle you could get on, and I think you paid a little bit, and you could ride it all day long for that one price. And it took you all around the Washington Mall and all the buildings in that area, you know, all the Smithsonian museums. You could see them, and we rode that shuttle. It moved around. Well, there's some things you need to just shuttle some things, all right? Things that men consider to be of supreme importance are not necessarily that important. And specifically, these things need to be moved down the priority list. Now, we didn't say they were unimportant, all right? Notice again what the Bible says, all right? It says, bodily exercise profiteth little. Profiteth little. Now, it doesn't say it doesn't do any good. It's just little compared to something else, all right? It doesn't prohibit exercise. So if you're going to go around and saying, I don't exercise because the Bible said, you're barking up the wrong tree, all right? The Bible's not saying that at all, okay? It's just not saying it. Scripture doesn't prohibit it. It profits, but the Bible says it's only profits a little. It's a little. It's recommended, but only as something that profits a little. You say, what are you saying, preacher? It shouldn't be the main priority in your life. You say, preacher, you're looking at us. How many of you think out here have the priority? We're constantly in the gym. I don't know. I have no idea. I know this, boy, sometimes physical exercise gets people in trouble. I can't begin to tell you how many people that if I sat down and began to tick them off, that I know, that used to be large, economy size, if you will, all right, big folks, and they decided, man, I'm going to get on a health kick and I'm going to lose this weight, and they did. They did. And they divorced their spouse. They divorced their spouse. Because now, somebody else that hadn't been attracted to him before was now attracted to him. Hey, I'm going to tell you, you better be careful. You better be careful. Say, preacher, I thought you were on a diet. I am. But I'm not fixing to be attracted to anybody else, man, all right? I don't think there's a whole lot of danger of people lining up being attracted to me either, all right? But you understand what I'm saying. I've known people. I could name two members of this church. That's what happened to him. That's what happened to him. It's a sad thing. Sad thing to see him. That they got that priority. Hey, if you're not careful, you get your focus on the flesh, you begin then to sow to the flesh. You begin to sow to the flesh. You begin to think about it too much. All right? Yeah, you know, some guy gets that Charles Atlas body, you know. And all of a sudden, that body becomes the predominant thing. That's where the emphasis gets. Or some woman works and gets that hourglass figure, and before long, that's where the emphasis is. Hey, wait a minute, you're making a dreadful mistake. Dreadful mistake. Is there anything wrong with exercise? No, it's a good thing. Good thing. But it profits only a little. Okay? Now, profits. But in the overall scheme of things, only a little. I'll be honest with you, good health is a gift from God. It is a gift from God. And God's people ought to take care of themselves. We ought not to bring problems on ourselves, you know, through bad eating habits, through physical activity. Some people hurt themselves by what they do physically. I remember talking to a kid in our school one time. He was telling about how he's jumping off the roof of the house. And I said, I just want to warn you, you can do that now, but you don't know what you're doing to your body that's going to show up down the road a little bit. You're going to have some problems down the road. You're going to wonder, well, gee, what's wrong? Well, it's jumping off the house, all right? Hey, your body wasn't made for that, okay? Not what your body was made to do. And we just need to take care of ourselves. Yep, you ought to take care of yourself. And the better... Hey, go with to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Here's what Paul said about it, okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 9, he said in verse 26, I therefore so run not as uncertainly, so fight I not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. Hey, Paul, in some sense, saying there, I kept myself in shape, all right, to be able to serve the Lord, be able to serve the Lord, be able to get somewhere, be able to do something. I keep under my body. You ought to keep your body in line, all right? It ought to run on you. It shouldn't run you, okay? You're the one that ought to keep that thing going. Hey, there's some things we ought to shun, and there's some things we ought to shuttle. If we're going to put the priority in our life on godliness, there's some things need to be dropped down a little bit, all right? Priority, if we're going to put godliness in that number one place, all right? Hey, there's some things we ought to shove to the top, and that's godliness. We ought to put that desire in our life, all right? Godliness, the Bible said, is profitable unto all things. All things. Hey, the physical activity is good for you, but just right here and right now. Just right here and right now. When you, I remember hearing old Pete Ruckman preach at youth camp years and years ago, 45 or so years ago, all right? And he said to all these guys out there in the gym building all them big muscles, he said, it's nothing but worm food. Worm food. Hey, that's where this whole body's going, okay? This whole body. Take care of it, yes. But man, if the priority becomes a body, you remember, that's just for here. Just for here. I'll say this to you. Godliness is good for here and now, but it's good for the hereafter too. All right? It's good. It applies to life now and the life to come. And it's where the priority ought to be. By the way, godliness keep you out of trouble. Godliness keep you out of trouble. On that, the emphasis on the physical sometimes gets you into trouble. Godliness will cause you to sow to the Spirit. That's where we ought to be sowing, all right? So what in the world, when you say godliness, what are you talking about, preacher? Godliness is that which honors our great God. Just simply, those things that honor Him. Everything that is. That's where the major part of our exercise ought to be spent. Exercise, the Bible says, exercise yourself unto godliness, all right? Exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Now, I just want to ask you, but I don't want you to answer, but I want you to think about it. How much have you exercised yourself unto godliness this week? This week. Well, preacher, I'm here. Good. That's one thing you can do, all right? That's a help. That's a good thing, all right? But, I mean, really and truly, how much do we exercise ourselves unto godliness? Striving to do and be everything that would honor our Lord, that would bring honor to Him in everything. You say, what do you mean? Well, your actions ought to honor Him. Your actions ought to honor Him. What you do, the things people see you doing. Not necessarily, I'm not talking about putting on a front, but I'm talking about your life being such that your actions just habitually are the things that would be honor to God and cause people to glorify Him. Just the way you conduct yourself, all right? Just the way you conduct yourself. I mean, here you are, you're down at Walmart, and you get mad. How do you conduct yourself? Take shoe off and beat on the counter, you know? How do we conduct ourselves? I mean, I'm serious, okay? You say, preacher, you never get mad? Sure, I get mad. I get mad, yeah. But wait a minute, what about our actions? What do they say to other people? I look and say, well, you're just like everybody else. You're just like, you know, your actions, if they're no different from the lost man, then that's not godly. There's not much godliness on display in your life. You know, you get cut off on the highway. The person in front of you, the red light, the light changes. And who knows what they're doing. And you sit there. You say, well, can't I even honk the horn? Yeah, but you don't have to lay on it, all right? You don't have to stick your hand out the window and shake your fist. Okay, I'm getting to meddling now, right? Yeah, getting too personal. We need to move on. No. Hey, our actions. Lord, be some godliness to them. Look at the way they treated Jesus Christ on this earth. How did he respond? How did he respond? Oh, listen, your actions ought to honor him. Definitely, your words should. Your words should honor him. Hey, that means there's some words that shouldn't be in your vocabulary. There's just some words that should not be in your vocabulary. I believe the same by the same token. There's some subjects that ought to be off limits. We're just not going to talk about them. Just not going to do it. Hey, we're talking about exercising ourselves under godliness. Exercising ourselves under godliness. I believe our demeanor ought to honor God. I believe our demeanor ought to honor God. You ought not to go through life looking like you're mad at the world. Okay? You shouldn't. Now, and I realize sometimes you get mad. I understand that. But you shouldn't go through life looking that way. And sometimes we get sad, but you shouldn't go through life looking that way. Well, wasn't it one of the Peanuts characters, Sad Sack, right? There's some Christians you'd think they modeled after him, all right? We don't look like anything good's going on. We don't look like anything good's ever going on. I don't remember who it was. There was a guy that said, keep smiling, make the world wonder what you've been up to. And I kind of like that philosophy. You just have a good word for people. I don't know about you, but I'm at the grocery store or Walmart or whatever, and I go to check out, and I go to the one where there's a person because I feel stupid talking to a machine, all right? So I go to the one where there's a person, and they'll usually say, how you doing? Well, how do you answer that? Woe is me. Yeah. I hope not. And I tell people, man, I'm having a big time. I'll tell them sometimes, man, life's great. What could be better than being able to spend some time at Walmart, you know? And usually gets a chuckle out of whoever you're talking to. Now, they may be thinking, this guy's crazy. But that's okay with me. I don't care. I don't care. Hey, our demeanor, it ought to honor him. Your character should never bring shame to the Lord. Never. I mean, everything about us. Now, how in the world do you exercise yourself unto godliness? There is no spiritual gym with spiritual barbells and weight machines, all right? There's definitely not one of those ellipticals, right? Torture machines, all right? Not that, all right? But I'll tell you, how do you develop godliness? As you spend time with him. Spend time with him. Spend some time with him. Maybe it's driving. You say, man, I don't know how much time. You drive a lot, turn the radio off, just spend some time with God. Just spend some time with God. Talk to him. It's okay. Just to be in his presence. And you spend some time with him, that'll help you. Spend some time in his word. Spend some time in the word of God. Open your Bible. Read it. You know, we try to get people to read through the Bible together and encourage you. If you'll read just a few chapters, it doesn't take very long. You can get through it. But the truth of the matter is, we ought to want to spend more time than that in the Bible. We ought to want to do that. Just a little bit more. That Lord, I could spend some time in your word. It's the word of God. What you want to do is to get it in you. To get it in you. And then that'll develop the godliness in you that you want. You just have to get that book in you, all right? Spending time with God's people will be a help to you. be a help to you. It's good to get together in the house of God. It's good to get together. It's good to come to church. Good to spend some time. It's good to have that fellowship together. It's good to have a place that's clean where you can come to. And you can talk with people and you can fellowship over the things of God and rejoice and ask for people to pray for you. Hey, those kind of things will develop godliness. They'll help develop godliness in you. Take your Bible to Philippians chapter 4, would you? Philippians chapter 4. Familiar verse, but if you're going to develop godliness, you need to get your mind in gear and get it cooperating with you. And Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8 give you something to chew on for a while. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are a good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things that are true, that are honest, that are just, that are pure, that are lovely, of good report, that's what you think about. Put your mind on them and do some of that, meditating on those kind of things. And I talked about getting the Word of God in you. Get you a verse and just maybe write it on the 3x5 card and stick it on your sun visor. When you're stopped at a red light, you can look at it and read it. Take it off, stick it in your pocket. And when you're standing in line, you can read it. Get it in your mind. Dwell on that. Dwell on that. Develop that godliness in your life. Spend some time doing it. Listen, God help us to give godliness the priority it deserves that it should have in our lives. Now, we'll labor to develop these muscles. We'll labor to do them. People work out, man. Get in front of the mirror and see how's it looking, you know. We'll put effort into it, we'll do it, all right. Hey, how about laboring to develop godliness? I just want to challenge you. How about labor to develop godliness and then get it to increase as we display it in our lives? I want to tell you, the world needs more godly people than it does more physically fit people. Now, I'm in favor, not against you being physically fit, all right? No, it's good. Profit, there's profit. But wait a minute, the greater profit is godliness. Godliness. Strive to develop. A lot of people spend hours a week at the gym trying to better themselves physically. But when you talk to them about spending time with God and reading their Bible, preacher, I don't have time. I don't have time. Hey, there's a lot of things you can do to develop that time. Cut your TV off. Take it outside. Put it in the trash can. Set it down. I mean, you say, well, Bridger, you're just telling me you don't have time to do anything else. But we got time for the things that are a priority. Priority. I like to fish. I do like to fish. I hadn't been fishing in 2 years. Well, you didn't have time? No, I just didn't make time. I just didn't make time to do it. I like to hit a golf ball. I'm not sure what I do is good enough to be called playing golf. I like to chase a golf ball around the golf course. Haven't done it in 2 years. Don't have time? No, it just didn't take time. Just didn't take time. I go on. There's things I enjoy, but I just don't take time to do them. Hey, we need to exercise ourselves unto godliness. That's going to mean taking some time. It won't happen accidentally. Like I said, multitudes are spending hours in the gym to help themselves physically, but almost no time trying to better themselves spiritually. To be more of what God wants me. Be a better Christian, to just have somebody at some point think, there's a godly individual. Wouldn't that be a blessing? What a testimony that'd be to your Savior. people think that of you. Well, how much time do we put into that? How much thought do we put into it? How much effort do we put into it? The Bible says real plainly, all right, bodily exercise profiteth little. So exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Godliness. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray you'd help us tonight. Help us see the truth of the Word of God. Lord, we live in a day and a time where godliness is not really a priority. The Lord, sad thing is it's not much of a priority in the lives of a lot of Christians. But Lord, would you help us to be different? Would you help us that we might decide, you know what, I'm going to exercise myself unto godliness. I'm going to put some effort into being a godly individual. I'm going to put in the effort to spend time with my Lord, to spend time in the Word of God, to meet with God's people, to work to make my actions pleasing to Him, my demeanor, everything I do, that it might please Him. Lord, help us to labor to be godly people. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. It's good to